And so, please welcome Paul Grafton.
All righty. This story begins in the fall of 1998, and my wife and I are in Thailand. And we had been dreaming of going to Thailand for a long time, and this was part of a worldwide trip. I had a round-the-world ticket. And we've landed in Bangkok. We have our Lonely Planet out, and we're picking all these points. And it took us about 3 or 4 days to realize that we really weren't interacting with very many people from Thailand. It was mostly other people with their Lonely Planet books in the same hotels, and the same tours, on the same bus trips, in the same towns. And it wasn't that fun. I mean, we ended up spending a lot of time talking to Germans and Canadians and Brits and other Americans, but we just felt the separation between the culture that we were trying to visit. And so I proposed kind of a weird, wild idea to my then girlfriend, but now wife, that we ditch the trail and we buy some bicycles and just ride around Thailand. And so she said, okay, that sounds good. When we had ridden through New Zealand and parts of Australia earlier in our trip, and it was magical because I don't know if anyone's bike toured before, but you start the day and you have a destination, but you really have no idea who you're going to meet and where you're going to go throughout the day. So you're constantly getting these surprises and neat interactions. And there were several occasions where people invited us into their house because we looked pretty bad, I guess. I don't know. But we met these really neat people as a result that we never would have met otherwise. And so we decided to do it in Thailand, where we didn't know the language, and the Thai alphabet looks absolutely nothing like English. So even if we could point, you know, there was no way to understand what we were reading. And so we really were like little fish in a big pond once we left the safety of the basic tour route. And so it was a little scary. And the bikes that we bought were not great. They were it seemed like a fortune at the time, but it was like $50 US to buy these bikes. The thing I remember about it was about not even 30 minutes off the main road we're riding, and this young couple, probably in their early 20s, they're riding on a moped, boys driving, the girls in the back, and they ride up next to us and they're smiling, and the girl goes like, yeah, and I was like, okay, yeah, this is a good omen. Now, one thing that we also discovered very quickly is that once you get away from where the tourists go, the prices are vastly different. And I stopped by about 4 hours in our bike ride to get a bag of chips, which normally would have been about 50 cents to buy a bag of chips. It was 2 cents to buy this bag of chips, the same exact one they were. So I was like, wow. And then we ended up staying at these guest houses that mostly were other Thai nationals would stay. And what would cost us maybe $10, where we'd been saying is 50 cents to spend the night, including breakfast and sometimes dinner. So it was kind of shockingly how inexpensive it was once we were just away from tourists. But then after about a week of going through northeast Thailand, we ended up getting to the Mekong River, and people were like, you got to go to Laos, you got to go to Laos, because it was in 1998, and in 1997, Laos was finally opened up from being communist for decades. And so we were like, okay, we'll go see Laos, and we crossed the river with our bikes, and you know, it was a little sketchy, but we made it across, and we took a 2-day boat trip from this town in northern Laos to Luang Prabang, which is the old kingdom of the Buddhist kingdom in the middle of Laos, which is a really beautiful spot, especially back then. I don't know what it's like now, but and then from there we started our bike tour, and we rode about 50 miles to this place called Vang Vien, which had really beautiful cliffs, karst topography, and we had a great time there. And then we had, from there, it was about 100 miles to go to Vientiane, which is the capital of Laos. Now, Laos itself was amazing. And I don't know, I think it was the time period or what we were doing. Because we were on bikes, we were in a country that there was very few tourists to begin with. All right, there was literally situations when we were riding our bikes past a school and the kids would stop and run over to us and like touch us. And the greeting in Thai is Sabadee, and they're just chanting Sabadee, Sabadee. And it was just like, it was really neat. They were really excited to see someone that looked so different and was doing something. So it really was a neat place to be. But once we got to Vang Vien, it was sort of a tourist spot. And there was a couple times where people called us Falangs, which is a derogatory term for white person in Laos. And so we started getting, okay, it's a little more sketchier here than what we've experienced in the north. And at the same time, my bike was starting to get a little iffy. You know, after riding a couple hundred miles on these pretty janky bikes, they were starting to show a little wear and tear. And about 5 miles outside of Vang Vien, my crank started getting really wobbly. Now, my wife, who was very competitive, was up ahead of me, probably by 5 minutes. And we were competitive back in those days, and she was happy to be ahead of me. And I was in a situation where my bike was not working correctly, and I was riding. And then I saw off to the right, it looked like a little workshop, and there was an old man working on a bike. And so I quickly came over and I pointed and looked, here's my crank and it's wobbling. He's like, oh yeah. And so he goes and he grabs a hammer. I'm like, oh, no. He starts tapping a little bit, and then all of a sudden his son, who's maybe, I don't know, this man's probably like 55, 60, and then his son comes out, he's like 30, and he's like, no. He starts yelling at him, and then I'm like, oh good, he's gonna save the day. And so he goes back, and then he comes out with this big hammer. And I'm like, oh no. And the older man comes walking over it, and he reeks of alcohol. And then I could see there's these two cups sitting on the side, and the young guy, and he starts hitting it. I'm like, no. And he starts hitting it, but it basically, the wrench, there was a screw that we were trying to unloosen, and it didn't. I just got my bike and I tried to ride, and then the bike just wouldn't ride at all. The crank was just completely stuck. And so I'm like, I'm going to have to walk back to Vang Vien. It was five miles back. I had to walk it. And my wife starts coming up. She's like, what's going on? What's going on? I told her the situation. And so we walked back together. I found a place, and there was this, I noticed before when we were there, this guy working on bikes, and he was able to fix it in a matter of like 10 minutes. Got the loose, fixed the crank, boom, 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 and we're off. But now we have a late start, and we don't have a lonely planet, and we have 100 miles to go between Vientiane and huge question marks between that in an area that may be good, okay, but this is also a place that was bombed quite a bit by Americans during the Vietnam War. And so I was bracing for some resentment somewhere along the line. And so we were riding, and we got about 50 miles down. And so we're 50 miles from Vang Vien and 50 miles from Vientiane, and it's starting to get a little dark. And we've seen not a single guest house along the way. And little villages. And we're really starting to feel like this little fish in a big pond of question marks. And so it's to make matters even a little bit worse, it starts to rain. And we have no rain gear. We have basically all we can carry on our back. And so we ride underneath this little tent in this little village, and through hand motions and gestures and pointing up at the sky and going like this, Everyone's like, okay, oh yeah. They're handing us bowls of soup and stuff like that. We're like, no, we're not hungry. And so they're like, okay, wait here. And we wait about 10 minutes. And that was, it seemed like more than 10 minutes. It seemed like an hour. And finally this guy sits down at a table and he puts his hands together and he's like, you must be looking for a place to stay tonight. And so we're like, someone who speaks English. And it turns out this guy was the only person in the entire village that could speak English. And he was worked for part of the defense ministry back in the Vietnam War. And so it was, I was like, oh, this is, but he ended up being really great. He needed to get permission from the village chief, however, which he got. And then we ended up staying at his house, at his family's house that night. And they ended up inviting people over and it was a big party. And it was just a really neat experience. And we offered money and no money. They absolutely would not accept any money. And so it was just a really great experience. And it just reaffirmed our whole experience of if you get out of the main area and you put yourself, they knew we were very vulnerable and we needed help and they offered it too. And it just warmed our hearts. And I think it made them feel good that they could help us out too. So, and then the next day we made it to Vientiane, which, you know, was great. So that's my story of feeling scared, but all working out for the best. So.